Jimmy D and the Wolf Podcast! Here we are. We are live. Sorry for our technical difficulties. Our normal time is Wednesdays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, but we had some technical difficulties. I'm not really going to say whose problem caused those difficulties.
It was the least technically proficient of the two of us. That's up to everybody else to figure out.
Hey, you know, I wonder if that was a problem. Well, you want to say what it was?
Yeah, my phone wouldn't go to, wouldn't pick up our Wi-Fi here at my house because I had ignored apparently lots of really important updates on my phone. Because every time it tries to update, I'm doing something.
Yeah. So update your phones, people. You have an iPhone 11, so it's not old technology.
Kept ignoring updates and ignoring and ignoring and ignoring. And it caught up to me because I couldn't use my Wi-Fi.
I am going to submit that I believe one of the reasons that you were cutting out and we lowered the quality of the video to the lowest possible because you kept cutting out. It's not happening now. It's much better now. I feel. So thank God for that. Thank God for technology.
Yeah, and if I look ugly, it's only because I lowered the settings on my video. Usually I'm beautiful.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So, okay, here we are. I mean, can this 2020 get any crazier, man? Man, you know, we got California burning up.
It felt so good last night, and I know so many people are like complaining, whining about sports, but it felt so good last night to watch an NFL game with my son.
Oh, yeah.
It just made, you know, it was one of the most normal feeling things that's happened all this year. But it was so strange because they didn't have the scoreboard on the TV. There was nothing. It never said like first and 10, second and 10. 7 points to 0. There was nothing. And we were so confused. Like, we didn't even know the score of the game halfway through. And my son's like, I don't really enjoy watching football when they don't have all the information on the screen.
Why did they not have the information on the screen?
Who knows, man? 2020. There was nothing there, dude. It was like watching a game in real life. Just like watching the field the whole time. Never saw the score. Never talked about downs. Nothing. It was very confusing.
That's interesting.
Yeah, huh. Man. It was odd.
Huh.
As much money as they make doing that stuff, you'd think that, I don't know. I didn't know what to make of it. But it's
in the stands?
Yeah, they had 22% capacity at Arrowhead Stadium. So, you know, certain teams are going to allow like 22% capacity. Some teams will have none. Which is interesting, but it's really, you know, it's pretty good time for sports, getting to watch the NBA playoffs and NFL at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. And baseball's going on too, right?
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Well, so sports has come back. I mean, I'm best people have had the mindset that, okay, COVID-19 is not going away anytime soon. Let's find a way to survive and carry on with it. And I think, I really believe that Tony Robbins was one of the first to do that. And I took his Unleash the Power deal about a month ago, not 2 months ago now. And I was so surprised to understand, even Tony Robbins, only Tony Robbins, who is the king of figuring out how to keep in a, you know, one of his things, stay in a peak state. You know, don't have this ugly state, pain, suffering state where you're depressed or sad or angry. And, you know, I struggled with that in my whole life. And he's all about taking these steps. It's physiology, keeping that, you know, chest up, shoulders back. And physiology, it's like the tail wags a dog. And sure. You think about, you know, he has this thing where he has you think about when you were most excited, you accomplished something, and look at what your body is, and then think about when you were in a horrible situation and nothing had gone right. Maybe somebody had died or you disaster, and look at your body language and say, you if you adopt the body language for the positive, you will help get into that state. Anyway, rabbit trail. So the guy who really mastered all of these tools and techniques at when COVID-19 hit, Dean Graziosi was saying, Tony was in an incredible funk because he's all about 90% of their business is live events. Unleash the Power, all these other courses they have. Tony Robbins. COVID-19 took out Tony Robbins, you know, as far as his mental place. And he kind of bounced back and said, okay, what can I do? Because the man, he's got so much money. I mean, he's not up there with Warren Buffett, but he's a billionaire for sure. His companies do $6 billion in sales. He's got 70 companies. So he's got the financial resources, and he spent, I think, $7 million on this thing. When he did the Unleash the Power, everybody was in virtual, and he built this room. It's 40 feet high, and it's a circle, about a 40-foot diameter stage that goes in a semicircle, and he is on stage with all these LED screens and watch. So there's an interaction, and he walked over, and he would point people out, kind of like he does in real, and we actually, he had to get together with Zoom. I talked about this before. Zoom had to upgrade their technology. And he was one of the first, I think, who said, okay, COVID-19 is here. How do we find a way to go forward? And NBA did it. NBA was very proactive. They said, okay, we're going to be in a bubble in Orlando. It's really weird, too, because you don't travel anywhere. You keep playing. You don't have the home court advantage, you know. The Celtics, my beloved Celtics, have a game 7 against the Raptors tonight. I'm a little nervous. The Raptors are so tough.
Kyle Lowry, man.
Kyle Lowry is
getting after it.
Unbelievable. His performance in game 6, I don't know. He just two overtimes. Game 6, two overtimes. And he kept hitting shot after shot after shot. He had a game-winning 3. He was on his back. No foul called. But he hit the 3. Win the game for him. Celtics, we're going to have to contain him in some way. Anyway, yeah, so the Celtics, they were one of the first to say, okay, this is how we're going to go forward. I mean, they had to because they had their season. Normally, you would do your finals in June. The NFL had time to wait, right? They normally start in the fall, so they didn't have to address it right away. Baseball, I don't think baseball got on the stick as fast as the NBA did they? I think they dillied and dallied. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So live, they say that live music, we're both musicians, artists. They say that that's not going to be back to normal second half of next year, maybe.
Yeah, but you know, they're going to start doing a better job of policing what's going on. The rights affiliates organizations, BMI and ASCAP, CSAC, are going to do a better job of policing the content that's being released on these Facebook Live shows. And like you made the comment yesterday, that could kind of weed out a lot of the cover material and make room for people that are actually doing their own music. You know, all these live streaming platforms soon will mostly only be available to people that write their own songs, which could be a huge blessing.
In theory, sir, in theory, but the Facebook announced a new rules regime, whatever the word I'm looking for, a new regulation for Facebook starting October 1st. Terms and conditions of using the site. I think terms and conditions. Updated terms and conditions. And it's, if you read it, I sent you a copy of it, and it's saying that no music at all.
Ah.
Really alluding to DJs who, you know, play what other people have written for the most part.
Ouch.
But I can't see why you couldn't sing your own songs. It's still a cloudy thing. So I'm not 100% sure what all that means. But in theory, if you wrote the song, why wouldn't you be able to perform it?
Right.
But there also was a comment in one of the articles I read that if the rights, for example, my artist name is Tim Wolf, but I was told you need to use your real name, your legal name for your songwriting. So I used my real name, Tim Walter, as my songwriting. And so Facebook might not match that up.
Yeah.
Okay. Tim Wolf is not a writer on this song. So therefore we are going to block him and we are going to delete his page and we're going to take everything away. That's what they're saying. They're saying they're going to be very strict on this. And, even though in principle we should be okay being original songwriters, plenty of material we could do, more than an hour worth of show, just our own stuff or stuff we've co-written. But will Facebook acknowledge that? That's the question. I mean, I upload my own songs to YouTube, and when I upload my songs to Spotify, my distributor, I use DistroKid, and when I check, there's a number of elections you can make. And DistroKid will, if you check a box saying you want to monetize on YouTube, that means that if you check that box and they charge a little more money, I think $3 or $5 per release, that means your song will be sent to YouTube and say, hey, this song is owned by this artist. So then I do that on Spotify. And then when I upload a video of that song, I'll get a strike against, not a strike, but you have a copyright claim against your song, and it goes through the system. It's a copyright claim. Somebody owns that song. It doesn't connect immediately that I'm the one who owns the song.
So have a claim against yourself.
Yeah, claim against myself. Have a copyright claim against myself. It's kind of funny.
You should take yourself to court.
Take myself to court. Yes, absolutely.
Long drawn. Good licensing battle. I'm going to try that.
So it's interesting times. And one of the things that the articles are saying now that I'm of course, I try to stay up. I'm a business person. I've been a business person all my life. And the business of music is fascinating to me because it's very unique from the former businesses that I was in, which was exporting farming and exporting ag products and snack foods. And the musical business is very interesting, but all the articles are talking about how there are so many new live streaming apps. And one article I read the other day said that it's like every day there's like 5 more announcements of companies launching live streaming apps. And in fact, Amazon, which is one of the big ones, you know, well, Bezos is the richest man in the world, $200 billion, and Amazon is a giant, one of the tech giants. And they own Twitch, of course, and they have Amazon Music. They want to compete with Spotify. They now have an app where you can do your live streaming on Twitch. There's more and more of an emphasis. Twitch, for those who don't know, is a app where people go on and watch other people play video games. And it's a humongous business. Huge. There are Twitch stars that are huge personalities. I think Ninja is maybe one of the biggest ones. Is he still on Twitch or he might have moved to another one? He got a huge multi-million dollar, $40 million contract, I think, for playing video games on Twitch. And now, since they have this set up, they've combined the two and they have a live music streaming aspect of it. And when I was able to claim my artist page on Amazon. Did you finally get yours claimed?
Not yet.
They had a bug. They had a huge bug in their app, and I kept sending requests and I couldn't get a claim. But now finally I can claim my own artist on Amazon. So like you can go to Amazon, theoretically, I don't have Alexa, but you could say, Alexa, play Tim Wolf. And it should work because now I'm on Amazon. They also said in the app you can select create a Twitch account so you can start live streaming on Twitch because they're tied together because they're both owned by Amazon. And it's smart, very smart by Amazon to do that. So I don't know how they're all going to say that again.
I wouldn't bet against them.
No, I would not bet against Jeff Bezos. And I wouldn't bet against Google either. I mean, Google, when I saw them at the DIY Musicians Conference, Google, who owns YouTube, the YouTube guys were there and they were saying that they want to be the number one source for music, recorded music revenue in 10 years. I would not bet. I would not bet against Alphabet, which is the owner of Google and YouTube.
Wow.
So it's clash of the titans. You know, you got Amazon, which has got Twitch and Amazon streaming and Amazon Prime for movies and things. And then you've got Netflix, which does movies. And you've got Spotify, which is a standalone company that is doing music and now big into podcasts. That $100 million project that they gave Joe Rogan, he moved over there. And Alphabet, which owns Google and YouTube, they want to be in music streaming. So, and then you got TikTok, which is supposedly owned by the Chinese, Tencent, I believe it's Tencent, is the Chinese company that owns them, and the Trump administration saying that they have to get rid of it, have to sell it, and the top buyers for it are Microsoft and Oracle, the last I heard.
I think YouTube's ahead of the game in that fight because they're already such a large search platform.
In which fight? In getting TikTok or just in the...
In the live streaming game. Moving forward in the live streaming game because they're such a large search platform already.
Yeah, I mean, the two biggest search engines in the world, number one is Google, of course, and number two is YouTube search. Both owned by the same company. But on the other hand, they can't compete in other fields. I mean, in the game streaming, the gaming world, Twitch is over 80% of the market. And YouTube tries to do it. They have their streaming. And then Microsoft had one. It started with an M. What was it? We were talking about it. And they folded it. They couldn't compete.
Oh.
They gave a guy $40 million to come over there, and then they folded it. And now he's going back. Talk about yourselves while I look for this. That's what a teacher used to say in school, right?
Let me do a song and dance routine for him.
Start with an M. What was it?
I remember asking the boys about it.
Yeah, your son knows all about it. Is they're in school, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mixer. Mixer gave a they gave a contract. Was that to Ninja Guy? Yeah, Mixer contract Ninja. That was the contract. Oh, paid 30. Yeah, he had a contract with Mixer. He's making 20 to 30 million between he left Twitch to go to Mixer, and then they shut Mixer down. So, I mean, you know, these gamers or any big personality is going to think twice before they make a big change because, you know, here he makes it was a big deal. You know, he was the biggest gamer in the industry,
and he made a big move here to play video games.
What's that?
He's making 30 mil a year to play video games.
Yeah. Well, the video game industry is
huge.
Is if you take the recorded music industry and the movie industry, add them together, multiply that total by two, you've got the size of the gaming industry.
Unbelievable.
So video gaming, most people my age certainly don't even recognize how huge that is. It is dominant. It is the size of it is. Are you there? What happened now?
Yeah, I'm here.
I lost you. My screen shifted over. Okay, I'm back.
I don't know.
All right. So interesting stuff. You know, the world is changing. You know, Spotify is going to have to get into streaming because of video streaming because Joe Rogan, a lot of his stuff was on. I haven't followed that completely, but he was on YouTube as well as on all of the channels like Apple Podcasts and whatnot. So I wonder where all his video content is now. I haven't followed it. Do you know? Do you know where Joe Rogan's video content is? because he moved over $100 million deal. He went over to Spotify. And Spotify's, after right after he did that, Spotify's stock value went up by well over $1 billion. So that was a great move for them to get Joe Rogan over there. They're going to be announcing a multi-million dollar deal to get the podcasters Jimmy and the D and the Wolf to move over to Spotify too.
Billion.
Yeah. In our dreams, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think about which video game I might be able to become popular with online right now, now that I know how big that industry is.
It's huge. Yeah.
I was pretty good at Ms. Pac-Man back in the day.
I think that'll be a real seller.
Yeah. Ms.
Pac-Man.
Put that on my YouTube page. I'm going to blow up.
But you never know, man. I mean, I've been really focusing on TikTok recently and posting videos every day. Check me out. The Tim Wolf, TikTok, at The Tim Wolf. And it just cracks me up. I've been posting music videos and just a kind of a throwaway one. I was in Milton, Kentucky. We went to see the banker there, and which is right across from your hometown of Madison.
He's calling today, by the way.
I hope so. He better. We will hunt him down. And beautiful area, Milton, Kentucky, right on the border with Madison, Indiana. Madison, Indiana is such a historic town, and it's easy to fall in love with. It's a beautiful, beautiful area, and the Ohio River runs between them. But the Ohio River has been flooding in the past, and there's a building there that has apparently been there for a long time, and there's the marks on the side of the building how high the water got. Yeah. And in 1937, the water was at that building was 20 some feet deep, and they show the mark, and it's like almost above the top of the second story. And I happened to just take a video. You remember when I took that video? I think you were a little impatient. You got in the car, and I'm like, "Come on, let's go." I mean, you didn't say anything, but
yeah, I remember.
I was probably taking your time, and I made a 1 minute video on TikTok about the flood levels. And where most of my videos get hundreds of views, that thing got 150,000 views and counting. 150,000. Well, I mean, it's not a lot compared to people getting millions, but when you're only getting hundreds and you get 150,000, who knows what? And it was just kind of a throw. I didn't even show my face. I just taking a picture of it. And it's just interesting. Who knows? And there is, we were talking about, you know, TikTok is kind of famous for being for younger Generation Zers, not even millennials, but Generation Zers. But I've seen people who look to be in their 70s or so. There was a guy who probably looked to be, I'm going to guess, 75, and he was playing his guitar, electric guitar, and he's playing like Johnny Cash, pulled some prison blues and singing. You know, it wasn't that professional, but the guy had many views and followers, and people said, "Man, you're amazing." So, you know, there's no age limits. You can succeed at all ages.
It's changing, man. Like, I ignored it for a long time thinking it was a kid thing. And over the last 3 or 4 months, a lot of my buddies will like send me TikTok videos.
I've done that. I've sent you a few.
Oh, yeah, it's changing. It's opening up.
It is opening up. And then there's Triller. Triller is the American version of TikTok, and I've got an account on there and seeing what I can do there. And I've got some views. I mean, it's easier to get views on these apps than, say, YouTube. YouTube is so competitive and so saturated, so I get more views.
Sea.
Sorry?
It's an endless sea of just content.
Yeah. And Spotify, too. Spotify. I've been advertising. I started an advertising campaign for my new single, Born in South Dakota. And you can put ads, a 1 minute audio ad talking to, and it'll show up. But I believe the only people that hear that are the non-premium Spotify listeners. So, because if you pay the premium, which I do for Apple Music, and you can do, it's about the same price, I think, for the package with Spotify. It's $10 or $12 a month in that range. If you pay that, you don't have ads. So on Spotify, you can do an ad right in Spotify talking about your song. And so I have spent some money to run a one-week ad promoting my new single, Born in South Dakota, selected by genre, blues rock, alt rock, that kind of thing. But I'm going to do a new ad, and I'm going to try to make it live today, and it's going to be aimed at only people living in South Dakota, because the song is called Born in South Dakota. And I'm going to do a new ad. It's experimentation. I'm doing what I'm my own music label, right? So music labels, if you don't promote the music, nobody's going to hear it today because you just talked about the deep sea. Sure. So that's what music labels do. They find a way to promote it. They get it on the radio, and they spend a lot of money. The average record label will spend $1 million breaking a new artist. $1 million. That's so anybody who wants to get a record deal, you need to evaluate, am I good enough that somebody would bet $1 million on me? But you can do all that yourself. You don't need a record label to do that. So, of course, you know, spending $1 million on yourself, but you can do it at increments. So I'm promoting Born in South Dakota. I've got a PR firm who's working on it, and I'm doing this promotion on Spotify just to seeing how I can move the needle.
It's doable.
So check out my song, Born in South Dakota, on your favorite streaming platform. So yeah. What else is going on, Jimmy D?
Well, one of the things is starting to book some more shows, and I'm happy that Giannis didn't advance in the NBA playoffs. Not to be a hater, man, but I just, you know, it's hard for me to watch that guy play basketball because he's so big and he like jumps from the 3-point line and dunks on everybody. It's almost like he should be in a different league. It's almost not fair.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they got knocked out just because he's like a physical freak.
Well, I'm glad Joel Embiid got knocked out as well. I don't like Joel Embiid. He's another big man in the East. I just don't like his personality. Of course, I'm a Celtics fan, and the Sixers and the Celtics go way back. I mean, the rivalry goes back to Dr. J days, you know?
Yeah.
They met, I think they were saying they met 30 times in the playoffs. And the Celtics, this is the first time the Celtics have ever met the Raptors in the playoffs. So, it's going down for the ages. Tonight, I'm either going to be super happy or I'm going to be suicidal. No, I'm kidding. Kidding. That's not something to joke about. I'll be sad because the Celtics will either advance and Miami will be well rested. they just took it to Milwaukee in 5 games.
And Jimmy Butler's playing out of his mind.
Out of his mind. Kyle Lowry and for the Raptors playing out of his mind. Jimmy Butler playing out of his mind. I mean, this is what the playoffs are all about. And I believe the product is as good as it's ever been. You're playing in a bubble in an artificial environment, but the product that they are delivering on the floor from a business standpoint, I don't even know the name of the guy. It used to be the guy that was so long that really was presided over the I can see his face. I can't think of his name. He died now. But then they got the new guy, the skinny, tall guy. He's doing a good job. He really is. And the NBA is delivering a phenomenal product, exciting games.
I think the Clippers got to be the favorite, man, until somebody beats Kawhi.
Well, as a Celtics fan, I would love to see the Lakers get knocked out.
He seems like the most locked-down player in the NBA, like that can take over a game more than anybody. Kawhi, man. I mean, he has that next level. It's like that thing with, like you hear Indy 500, like Formula One race car drivers talk about how they can smell the grass into the turn and all these like...
They can smell the what? Say it again.
Smell the grass coming into the turn.
Wow. And
like people that are just like, it's like Hendrix playing the guitar, like next level he's that next level guy that he just goes to a different place than all these other players do in the playoffs when it counts the most. So if I had to bet, man, my money would be on the Clippers until somebody beats Kawhi, basically.
Well, you know, I'd be happy for that. When Kawhi, I was never didn't know too much about Kawhi until he delivered that incredible game-winning shot last year in Game 6 against Milwaukee for the Raptors. And he's interviewed after, and it's like the guy just woke up and having a cup of coffee. He's the most laid back.
He's not a full human being, man.
Yeah. He's just, you know, cold ice water in his veins. And I think you're right. I mean, and the thing about it is, okay, you got Lowry who's doing it on the offensive end, but Kawhi is both sides of the ball, which Lowry I don't think has got the defensive. Now, Lowry – okay, we're talking about Lowry. The one thing about Lowry, he is the leading, NBA leading for taking charges. That is a statistical fact. So maybe I should back up on what I was just saying. Lowry is doing it on both sides. He's taking the offensive charges and getting the calls. He's the leading guy for the number of offensive charges taken. And that's hard on your body. You know?
Yeah, and that's great for your team, though.
You know, so he is doing it on both sides of the ball. So, yeah, he and Kawhi, but I would love to see the Lakers knocked out. Of course, everyone would love to see a Lakers-Celtics. Not everyone. Some people would like to see a Lakers and Celtics finals.
Yeah, I think the Clippers knock them out, man.
I would love to see it. Oh, I was going to say – go ahead.
They've got the best six man. They've got great defense. They're deep.
Lou Williams. Is it Lou Williams?
Yep.
And Doc Rivers. I got a warm place for Doc Rivers. I mean, Doc Rivers was a point guard back in the day when I was living in New York City and I had Knicks tickets, and he was a point guard. He was a guard on the Knicks back then. And then he was, of course, the coach for the Celtics when we won the championship in 2008. So I've got a warm spot for him. And he went to the Clippers and became a general manager. He's got a front office position as well as being the coach. And so I am, I would like to see him succeed for sure.
Yeah, I'm a Kawhi fan. Great for that guy wherever he went.
Yeah.
I mean, We usually get to watch at least four playoff games a year.
Just four? Oh, as a
yeah, me as a Pacers fan, we get to watch four.
Oh yeah, heartache after heartache. Nice. Wasn't Paul George was a Pacer, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he wanted. You think I would stay trading him or no?
Yeah, he wanted to be traded. It's such a small market, man. You know, we can't keep superstars. It's just a small market team. We've always dealt with that. I mean, Hoosiers always deal with that small market thing. It's been that way forever being a Colts fan, too. We just have a tiny, tiny market compared to most of the other teams.
Green Bay has found a way. I mean, you want to talk about small market? I think Green Bay Packers have probably the smallest market.
They have that weird thing where there's like Packers fans all over the country. The Colts don't have that.
Primal branding.
Right.
Primal branding. You know, there's a book that I...
There's Packers fans all over the country. You don't meet Colts fans in Florida or Colts fans in Cali. You know, it just doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, it's that thing that you can't put your finger on.
Right, exactly.
It's primal branding. I read a book that was really illuminated my mind as far as what primal branding is. And there's seven different aspects to a primal brand where people it reaches you at a different level. I mean, and examples of that, it can be individuals, it can be teams, it can be brands like Apple. Apple, the computer company, phone company, technically their phones are behind some of the Samsung's you know, the cameras are more advanced, those sort of things, and they don't have the latest technology, but yet people line up around blocks to buy their new releases.
Sure.
And they're as far as a company, they were for a period of time the most valuable company in the world. Just recently, they reached that mark, and that's an example of a primal brand. Coca-Cola versus Pepsi. And, you know, soft drinks is no longer as big of a deal as it was maybe a generation ago, but in blind taste tests, Pepsi always beats Coke. But who sells more? Who's got the iconic brand? Coke. It's a primal brand. And same thing, the Green Bay Packers is a primal brand for a combination of factors that you can study, and is just to reach people at an emotional level that made people want to be a fan of that franchise. You know, there's another football team that has a primal branding that have fans all over the world, and that's the Cleveland Browns. You know, they're really got a...
And they have beautiful helmets, too.
Yeah, their helmets are off.
Incredible. I mean, the orange and the brown together, just really... That was their big marketing secret, was putting those two colors together.
I'm sorry, Cleveland Browns fans. I was trying to have some fun. You know, so.
Yeah. Both the Ohio teams, man. Strange franchises. Orange on the helmets of both teams, the Bengals and the Browns. I haven't, living where I live, man, it's like half and half. Most people are either Colts fans or Bengals fans, and I have so much respect for Bengals fans because they just stick with their team, heartache after heartache after heartache. They're diehard fans around here, and they've just been through it, man, you know, but they still pull for their team.
You know, and the same thing can be said for, and not trying to get political, but Donald Trump has a primal branding going on.
Absolutely.
He's got his supporters are some of the most rabid, fervent supporters I think I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Yeah, he's got the mantra, he's got the logo, the red hats. And
yeah, he's got the icon, it's called an icon. He's got the phrase, make America great. He's got the red hat.
Yeah, he's got it down to a science.
He does. And there's an example of a current primal brand. People will support him no matter what happens. And that's a very successful branding. And part one of the seven attributes is you have to have the outside ones. And for Donald Trump's brand, it's the opposition party, the Democrats.
Yeah.
So... I mean, no other party. Can you think of, there's never been a president who's had that kind of a fervent support that I can think of. I mean, just looking objectively and not trying to get political, because I'm not. I'm just looking at it objectively as far as the support.
The way he's done it. I mean, he took a bullish business approach into politics. And it's worked. There's no arguing that. Some people love him, some people hate him. There's no arguing that the marketing campaign wasn't knocked out of the park. I mean, they absolutely knocked that out of the park.
Well, I found a video that an influencer was talking, and it was really prescient in that it was 2013. This guy was speaking, and I've got to find this because it was so prescient as for the future. He said, if I can get 50% of the American population to hate me, I can become president.
That's absolutely true, man. And you know, I view that whole thing on a way more simple level than most people do, because to me, it's all just energy. And if you like it or you don't like it, if you're giving it your energy, you're giving it your energy. Oftentimes, people will give the thing that they hate so much energy that they're actually helping that thing. They're helping to proliferate that thing, you know? You can't look at something that you don't like and shout at it, make it go away. You're just feeding it.
And there's a there's been books that I've read or articles that I've read about musical artists, you know, being you can't be milquetoast in the middle. You've got to be divisive. I mean,
sure.
You've got to be controversial.
Well, I now mean, it would be nothing now, but I remember in the 80s coming up and how like how much shock value Madonna had to
I was just thinking like a virgin.
Yeah, and my grandma being like, my grandma's like, that's flat. You know what I'm saying? She just couldn't.
She continued to do that. In the 90s, early 90s, I think she was like gender, which was very extreme then, gender bending things that she was doing. And she kept pushing that envelope.
Right. And what she did now, it'd be nothing. You know what I mean? Nobody would.
Yeah. And then, Lady Gaga. You know, she wore a meat dress to an award ceremony, a dress made of meat.
It's like the same thing with the band Kiss or Marilyn Manson or any of them. Or it's like Buckethead, the guitar player. I mean, he's a great guitar player. There's lots of great guitar players. We know who he is because he's got a fried chicken bucket on his head.
He does.
It's like you figure out your thing.
Not everybody knows who it is. I'm going to say that 50% of our listeners don't know who Buckethead is, right. I'm going to guess.
He's an incredible player.
He is. And he puts out what? He puts out like 200 albums a year?
It's ridiculous, man. That guy pumps out more music than anybody.
I literally think 200 full-length albums a year. At least 150.
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
I don't know, man. I have no idea. How's he even pick a set list?
Yes.
You know I'm saying? If you got that much stuff, there's no way he remembers all that.
Oh, and technically he's way up there. He's at the top of the top, right? I mean, he's not my style of music, but
incredible guitar player, man.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And how does he play without being able? I mean, it'd be kind of hard. I mean, you know, I used to wear Halloween masks as a kid, and you're trying to look through these eye holes, and it's hard to see. You know, somebody gives you a candy bar, and you may not drop it into your little bag because you can't see. How in the world do you play? I mean. How do you look at your guitar and make sure you're at the right fret when you're looking out through this mask? He's got a.
Maybe that's how he got so good.
Yeah. Well, they say El Demiola, which was back in the day, was a really fast, you know, guitar player in the jazz fusion world, said that I remember in one interview, and maybe it was for fun, maybe he was having a laugh, but. He's that guy. That's why he gets so good. And he said, I practice in the dark. There's something to that.
Hey, the Grateful Dead made an album in the dark.
They did. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's called In the Dark. There's probably something to that, man. I mean, that automation place of playing music, you know, not having to look at it. I'm sure that makes it come from a different place.
You know, I talk about music. So I just posted, I've been trying to post on, we changed the branding of our guitar training course. It's now anyone can master guitar. So.
I like it.
Anyone can master guitar. And so I've been posting, you know, today in music history, guitar music history, every day, and or most days, not every day, but I try to get there. But today I posted Jack Eli, how do you pronounce his name, was the guitar player and lead vocalist for the Kingsmen, Louie Louie.
Very cool.
And he was born on September 11th, and I posted that. And so then I put in the comments a link to the Kingsmen singing Louie Louie, which was back in, I mean, the FBI actually investigated it because they couldn't understand what he was saying. They thought it was subversive or something.
Like the essence of rock and roll, man. Some songs are just ooze rock and roll, and that's one of them.
That's one of them. And so coincidentally, you know, it was playing the YouTube quit playing, and then it got to the next song, and the next song came up was a song from my youth, and it started playing, and I'm like, wow, who did this? It was It sounds like an Al Green song. And it was the Eagles. It was our last top 10 hit. I was so shocked that it was by the Eagles. See if I can find it here.
I can't tell you why.
I can't tell you why. I have to admit, I am embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to admit that I didn't know that was the Eagles. And I'm a huge Eagles fan.
I think, and I could be wrong, man, you might research this, but I think the bass player sang that song.
Yes, he did.
Timothy B. Schmidt, because, and that's probably why you didn't realize it was the Eagles, because he has that high kind of R&B.
100%. I remember, I mean, I'm a huge Eagles fan. We used to cover Eagles. I would learn Don Felder's solos, you know, note for note. Hotel California, of course, and other songs. Huge, huge Eagles fan. And I am so embarrassed to admit that now in 2020, it took me this many years of my life to realize that that song was an Eagles song.
Can't win them all, man.
I mean, it's so unlike all their other stuff.
Yeah, it's soulful.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was their last top 10. I'm just reading about it. It was their last top 10. Here it is. I can't tell you why. It was the group's last top 10 hit on the Billboard Hot 100. It's a song by American rock band Eagles, which appeared on their 79 album, The Long Run. It was written by band members Timothy B. Schmidt, Glenn Frey, and Don Henley. And Don Felder, who I've got a soft spot in my heart for Don Felder, he got thrown out of the band in a very, you know, got mistreated by Henley and Glenn and Don. He played the lead on that, and Joe Walsh played B3 organ, according to the credits. Joe Walsh didn't even play lead on it. Joe Walsh just played organ on that song.
Nice.
In the recording. So I actually thought maybe I'll cover that song because I love it. And but then you want to do an Eagles cover and you do a video of it. I did a cover of Desperado and they refused the licensing of it because, you know, Don Henley's kind of a fill in the blank negative adjective. Glenn Frey's dead, of course, but I heard that they won't let anybody cover Hotel California because they don't want Don Felder to get any money from it because he was a co-writer on it. Now, but you can release the song on streaming because then you get a compulsory license. That's the arcane licensing laws we have. If you want to cover a song and it's been released already, there's nothing that can stop you because you can get what's called a compulsory license. And I did that. I released it on Spotify. You can hear my cover of Desperado on Spotify. But when it comes to syncing it, synchronizing, S-Y-N-C, syncing it to video, there is no compulsory license law. And you each song, you have to get a license, and they can say yes or they can say no. Now, most songs, like I did a cover of Miss You by the Rolling Stones, and most publishers who administer that have an agreement with YouTube that they will get monetized for that, and they allow you to do it. You don't get the money for it. They get the money for it, but they allow you to do it because it's money in their pocket. For every stream, there's a fraction of a penny that goes their way. But Don Henley and Glenn Frey, no way, no way. Not going to let you cover it, not on sync.
Right.
And I even hired a firm to try and do it. That $15 they're supposed to get a license for me, and I was $15 that I wasted. You have a cigarette behind your ear, dude?
I do. My only vice.
Oh, all right. Well, that's probably enough for.
Yeah, today. We got a song today.
What's that?
We got to work on a song today.
Yeah, we do.
Or a custom song thing.
Custom songs. We're gonna be doing custom songs. If you're interested in getting a custom song written by us, you can reach out to us. And we are starting this up. We're going to be going hard on this and make it available that we will be doing custom songs. And
a lot of fun.
Just reach out to us and let us know if that would be of interest to you. We're doing our first one. We got it almost done. And our client, we already shared the lyrics. He loved it so far. So we'll see where that goes.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks for watching. Andy Wolf.
Peace. See you next time.